But good morning, and we want to, this morning, I want to talk about raising the level of grace in motherhood. Raising the level of grace in motherhood. Now, the first thing that I would say as we begin is that many of the things that we'll be talking about as I speak about moms and motherhood, of course, you could take it, okay? If you're not a mother, right? If you're not a mother, Mike, then this is applied to you, okay? And it really can. So this doesn't mean, oh, well, you know, this is just going to be spoken to the moms. No, this is for everybody. But in particular, we have something to say to moms and about motherhood. So what are we going to be talking about? Raising the level of grace. Raising the level of grace in motherhood, okay? And I would like to do this by looking at the life of an incredible mother whose name is Hannah in the Old Testament. And some of you might recognize Hannah because she is the mother of who? Very famous Old Testament character, Samuel. And it just so happens that our children's church is also going to be speaking about, mothers and Mom's Day and so on by looking at the life of Hannah. So we're on the same page, and we're trying to do that throughout this year. Whatever's going on in Children's Church is going to be going on here, and vice versa. So we want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. So you can go there on one of your devices or in your Bibles if you have them with you, and I'm sure Todd will get it up for us. But Samuel chapter 2 and verse 27. Samuel 2, 27. We want to start there. I want to, 1 Samuel, I want to read a couple of scripture verses from the life of Hannah. When we come to this period of Israel's history, it is not a pretty one. But into that ugliness, something wonderful is about to happen. Hannah is to give birth to Samuel. And Samuel becomes a prominent figure in the Old Testament, and prominent because he becomes the one, remember, who the seven sons of Jesse passed before him. Remember the story where God is going to be choosing a new king for Israel, and Samuel is the one that the Lord speaks to and says, up and anoint him. His name is what? His name is who? David. And Samuel anoints David to be the greatest king of Israel, of whom we still yet speak, and we speak of him in terms of he is through whom Jesus Christ has come. So a very important time here, and a key figure, you know, as we speak about this time, you know, we look at Samuel, we talk about him, we talk about King Saul, we talk about King David, and then of course King Solomon in this time period, and somehow Hannah becomes overshadowed by those key figures. And I want to say that she is not to be overshadowed, that she is in fact as prominent as they are, a key figure, Hannah, this mother of Samuel. And so in Samuel chapter 2 and verse 27, she says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now, verse 27, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And then Samuel worshiped the Lord there under the tutelage of the priests. Let's back up just a couple of minutes and go to chapter 1 and see some things about Hannah and how it was that it came about that she gave birth to Samuel. Because it's not a pretty situation. It's not pretty circumstances at all. In chapter 1, starting to read at verses 5 and 6, it says, But to Hannah, her husband Elkanah gave a double portion because he loved her. He loved her. And then it says these words, and the Lord had closed her womb. And the Lord had closed her womb. And so we see that Hannah's in duress. And especially in those days, and I don't think that unsimilar to our day, where it becomes a very painful situation for a woman who gets married and isn't expecting to be a mom and not able to have children. Very painful situation. And even more so in these days, of which we're reading here. And it says, notice the words where it says, the Lord closed her womb. This is going to, I want you to pay special attention to that because we have some things to say about that. Reading on, it says, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. So another mother who did have children, Hannah didn't have kids, was being mean to her, provoking her, irritating her, bullying her. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And it says, this went on year after year. So this is just a passing thing. Went on for a long time. And then it says, whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord to worship, it says her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. You see it there? Would not eat. She's in a horrible condition. And it says, Elkanah, her husband, would say, why are you weeping? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Oh, you just don't get it. He being a man doesn't get it. He being a father doesn't get it. And come on, guys. I joke around. I have joked around. And for this particular joke, I've been beat up by a gang of women where I've said, I've repented. But I'm going to still say it. But not as a joke. If having children was so hard, if God would have had the men have the kids. I know. Now I know better. I know better than that. I know better. There's something about and she says, no, and then there's something about mothering and mothers and that whole dynamic, where, sorry, Elkanah, you're a good guy, I love you, you're my husband, and I know you love me. You've given me double portions, but just not the same as having a son. And so then let me read verses 10 through 12. It says, while they're there in church, time of prayer, it says, in bitterness of soul. You see it there? In bitterness of soul. Now you got to see her condition. She wept and she would not eat. And she's in bitterness of soul. And it says, she wept a lot. And then these words. And she prayed to the Lord. Oh, so important to see that. That it, given her situation, given her tragic, hurtful circumstances, it says she brought it to the Lord. And then it says, and she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery. You see how she's feeling? You get a sense how this woman's misery. And remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I'm going to give him to you, Lord. For all the days of his life, no razor will ever be used on his head. And what she's referring to is a particular kind of consecration, where she's giving him in particular for his preoccupation to be serving the Lord in ministry. That's what she means. And we feel something in here from this woman, this mother, Hannah. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me, as I think we can even sense in the atmosphere of this room now. I think that the Holy Spirit has something to say to some of you moms this morning in particular, and to all of us, about raising the level of grace in motherhood. And so, fathers, we're here in your presence and we talk about these things. And you know the wrestling in my own heart in putting this message together. First of all, because I'm not a mom. But I believe I've heard from you and can say some things about grace and motherhood that'd be helpful. So I'm asking for your anointing in Jesus' name to help us to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. And so, you know, it takes a lot of grace to be a mom. My wife had a lot of it because not only did she have three kids, but she had me as well. And it takes a lot of grace to be a mom. We have to, we want to highlight that for a moment. And it takes a lot of grace because being a mom is a lot of hard work. Let me read to you here a couple of statistics, okay? You'll get a kick out of some of these. But by a baby's second birthday, moms have changed at least 7,200 diapers. Now, Dad, you figure into that, but if you were a dad like me, not very many times, okay? And I know I get booed on this one as well. I get booed on this, all right? But I can count on three fingers in the lives of our three kids how many diapers I changed. I can remember having to, you know, watch the kids while Sandra was out here or there and them doing something in their diaper and calling her to come home. You know, you got a mess on your hands, Sandra. You got to take care of this. And it just, look at these hands. You understand? And it's like, you know, so then grandkids came along. And it's like, Dad, can you babysit? Who? You know, which one? You know, Trent's hit potty train, the other one isn't. And while Sydney, oh boy. And it's like, no worries, Dad, you know, I just changed her. Okay, I get there, and guess what? This one time I put her on the changing table, because, and it's like, oh boy, oh no. Did you do something for Grandpa? You know, and it's like, this is no joke. I had it all over the changing table. I had it all over my hands. I had it on my clothes. I'm like, it's just all over the place. And I'm like, this is nuts. And so it's a lot of hard work. You know, I mean, I would have never guessed that many diaper changes. Over 7,000 diaper changes. And it's, listen to this one in regards to moms changing diapers. On average, a mom would spend about 2.5 minutes per diaper change. You know, they're 10 minutes. And that's the cleanup on me afterwards. But, you know, they're talking to them, you know, they're doing all their powder, all this stuff and whatever. And what that adds up to, okay, this is incredible. It adds up to 3 40-hour work weeks every year that you are changing a diaper, Mom. That's hard work. That's hard work. And then here's another one. Okay, laundry, all right? I don't know what your curse of motherhood is, but for me it would be laundry. Now that's one thing that I did help out with around the house, and I still do. I helped out for whatever reason, helped out with laundry. I've got better at this because I would do the laundry, pull it out of the dryer. And then I would create a Mount Everest out of the laundry. And there it was, you know, for Sandra to take. Now, I've gotten a little bit better where I'll put it away. But putting it away, folding, I just put it away and ask no questions, you know. And when it's complained about, it's like, well, Sandra, at least I put it away. Listen to this. 88% is done by moms, 88% of the laundry, okay? Totaling 330 loads of laundry, coming to about 5,300 articles of clothing every year. Now, that's a lot of work. And I've never been one. One thing we never want to do is we never want to say to a mother, do you work? Now, you deserve, if you're a guy and you say to a mother, do you work, you deserve to be slugged. All right? Now, that's one thing, because it's like, what I mean is, do you work outside the home? Again, you deserve to be slugged, right? And you know what I'm talking about. And I didn't look for the statistics, but you could find them about, if you had to pay, moms, if you got paid for the work you did at home, you'd be pretty stinking rich. In just 1 or 2 years, you'd be pretty stinking rich for the work that you do, right? And so, let's see, is there another one here? No, that's good. And so, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And when we talk about the work that it takes and the grace that is required for moms, it's just the tip of the iceberg. And often, we have to throw into that, moms, do we not? It seems like in mothering, right? And this is the connection I want to make as we look into Hannah. It seems like the heartaches outweigh the joys of being a mom. Does it not seem that way sometimes? And so it takes grace. It takes grace to be a mom. I found this little article, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it kind of highlights, I think very truthfully, some of the heartaches. She says, I'm struggling to gather together the right collection of syllables that can be mushed together to convey my experience motherhood. She says, an experience many people likely share but never speak of. First, no one tells you how emotional motherhood will be. And by emotional, I mean exhilarating, exhausting, gut-wrenching, and euphoric. Up, down, right? You moms, you know what I'm talking about. Know what she's talking about. I'm just reading clips here and there to get to a point. She says, you think you know what it's going to be like because people say it's hard, but so worth it, being a mom. You'll hear this about 5,000 times, and so you convince yourself that you're braced and ready for the good and the bad. But that's the first thing you didn't know about being a mom. Sometimes it feels like it's not worth it. Now, from a dad's perspective, I can remember one particular time, I think it was Melody, she was sick, and I can remember being in the other room pacing the floor with her, back and forth, 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 back and forth. I mean, this went on and on and on. And it's like, where's Sandra? why am I stuck doing this? And it's like this little bundle of joy was this little bundle of misery at that moment for me. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like it. That's one of her points. Here's another one. No one will be affected by their cries like you are. Mom, huh? It's really amazing. A kid starts crying and it's like, Sandra, go get her. And it's like, she's okay. She's got the cry down. Discerns what kind of cry that it, right? You know what I'm talking about. Here's another one, whipping through this quickly. There's times when you're going to feel like an ungrateful jerk being a mom, she says. She says this, because you're in the middle of all these emotions and you're just not enjoying being a mother. And it's like, why don't I just, you know, call somebody up quick, come and, you know, rescue me, take the kids, and I'm just going to take a long ride in the country. You know? She says this. Here's one she says. She says, you won't want this phase to end when your kids are young. You know, you won't want that phase to end, and yet you can't wait for it to end, right? And here's news for you. With young kids, it gets worse. And then she says, you know, people say it's hard, but it's so worth it. She says, you know, they mean you'll watch your husband. You know, when they say it's so worth it, what they mean is you'll watch your husband cry while holding your daughter because he loves her so much. You know, in those times, and you're making him laugh. You know, and it's really not. You're making him laugh. They just had gas, right? Remember those times? You know. And then it's like, you are also going to hand that same baby to him 2 days later in exasperation. Here, you take him. Because the cries are literally making the inside of your ear hurt. You know? It's hard, but it's so worth it. And then she ends by saying, What they mean is you're going to be rendered speechless when your baby locks eyes with you for the first time. You know, you melt when their hands curl around your finger. I still do that. We were at the baseball game the other day in Sydney. I mean, like I say, this is a big hand, and her hand is about like this, you know, her finger, and she took hold of my one finger. You know, we're standing there, and it's like what an awesome feeling, you know, when they do that. And it says, you know, you'll melt, absolutely. You'll feel pride when they cry, and only being in your arms makes them stop, right? You'll wonder how you got so lucky. You'll also feel haggard, chubby, and more tired than you ever knew was possible. But it's worth it. It's hard, but so worth it, right? And so it's not easy being a mom. It's hard. It takes hard work. And sometimes the situations that you face in being a mom are extremely difficult. Gut-wrenching. Heartaches come. And so I want to talk about that this morning from the life of Hannah, because Hannah speaks to us about that. And I want to say that I want to explore, by looking at the life of Hannah, three levels of grace that you, Mom, must venture into and conquer as a mom. Three levels of grace. Hannah brings them to us here. The first is from verses 5 and 6, where again it says, and the Lord had closed her womb. And the next verse begins the same way. And because the Lord closed her womb, it caused all kinds of other problems, hurtful problems for Hannah. And so this is the first level of grace that I want us to look at. This is it. You ready for it? And that is, Mom, for you to be able to receive enough grace, to receive grace enough to live through difficult situations without becoming disappointed with God. Did you hear me? Now, as we look into this text, we see that it is the Lord that's being blamed for closing her womb. And it's as a matter of factly stated, he in fact did close her womb. You see what's going on here? That she can't have kids, and not being able to have kids is bad enough for this woman. But now, she's being maligned for not being able to have kids by another mother. And it brings her to a place of desperation in her life. Hannah's response in this situation is one of depression. It's one of grief. She loses her appetite, it says. She's brought to misery. And behind all of it, she says, the scripture tells us, that it's the Lord. And yet, though it's the Lord, we have no sense that Hannah is going like this. That Hannah's depression, where she's made to sink inward, and she's made to feel the pain and the misery of her circumstances, where she's blaming God for it. Where it's, God, why me? Why is this happening to me, God? You know? Why are these other mothers able to have kids? It isn't that a heavy weight to bear, moms, and comparing yourself to other mothers sometimes? Especially mothers who seem to, like this mother who got all kinds of kids, things are going so wonderful, and there you are. Sense of barrenness, misery, all these kinds of things. And so, Hannah here, though her response on one level was in this way, we see something else. But let's stop a moment, because I want to ask the question, how? How is it that she received grace enough in this kind of situation to live through this difficult situation and live through it without becoming bitter against God, without becoming disappointed with God? Some of you may have heard of this book by Philip Yancey entitled, and I brought it with me because I wanted to show you, Disappointed with God. Some of you may have seen it. And if you have ever felt this way for any reason, that, you know, the Lord has closed up my womb. Why is all this, God, why are you making these things happen to me? This is a good book to read right here. I recommend it. But I want to say some things about that right now. It takes grace to live through disappointing situations in our lives. Does it not, Mom? It takes grace. Grace from God. And see, I ask the question, how? How is it possible? How is it? And I want to give you a couple of answers that I know is how you can live through it. Here's the first one, that you become locked in to God. You become locked in. You become locked into this. God's got a purpose, an eternal purpose in this. Now, I think Hannah felt that. She felt that the Lord has closed my womb. And I want to tell you why. This is not just something I'm reading into the story. I'll tell you why. Because as we go on in just in a moment here, we see the action, another response. Hannah's, one of her responses is she becomes depressed. But another response, she does something else here that kind of clues us into that this woman didn't become bitter, didn't become disappointed with God. In fact, she goes to God. There is this sense that Hannah is sensing, hey, there's a bigger purpose going on here. And what I want to say to you is that in your circumstances that are disappointing, what will keep you is having this sense about you that God's got a purpose in this for my life. Here's the second thing, is you ask how. How is it? How is it that you can become, you can receive grace and not sink into this kind of conflict with God? Why are you doing this to me, God? Here it is. That we translate everything that we're going through in our relationship with the Lord. Instead of it becoming something that causes me to straight arm God, and I stop praying, I stop going to church, I stop getting into the Word, where I cut off this any kind of spiritual connection in my relationship with God. We see just the opposite happen here with Hannah. She didn't do that. She didn't sever her relationship with God. She translated what she was going through into her relationship with God. You think about this with all the great characters in the Bibles. They speak to this as they speak to us by their lives. You see it with Job. I mean, if anybody could have said, on you, God, I'm out of here, it was Job. Even his wife said, right? What a woman like that who needed the devil. Just curse God and die, Job. Just curse God and die. Get it over with. You know? Job, listen, your misery is now affecting my life. You know? You heard the saying, Job, happy wife, happy life. I'm not very happy right now with you. But Job made it to the end of his ordeal, doubly blessed. Why? Because he translated everything that he was going through into his relationship with the Lord. Instead of straight-arming God and telling God where to get off, he pressed in all that much more. Hannah is doing that. You'll see it. You'll see how she is doing that here in our text. See, she's saying, if God has done this, he must have a good reason. If the Lord has closed my womb, instead of saying, oh God, what's going on here? Don't you care about me? All the other women are having children. Poor me. Instead of saying that, she's saying, he's God. He's sovereign. He loves me. If he's done this to me, he must have good reason for doing it. How? By translating that. How? I ask the question again. I like this one. I wish I were a mother just for this one. I've been called. I mean, we won't go there. How? How did she not become bitter? How? By putting a demand on that relationship that she had with God by praying. You understand? We see it here in these verses. She takes it, she takes it, she takes it, she takes it, and she brings it to the Lord in prayer. You understand? And she's kept. Listen, if anything we see about Hannah is that she's revealing who she is. And who she is, she's revealing that she has a conscious and very intimate relationship with God. And so when this happens to her, she takes that and she brings it to the one who could really do something about it. When we go through stuff, I know that, you know, we're so prone and conditioned to, you know, talk to somebody else about it. And as good as that, we need friends. We need friends. We do. I thank God for the friends in my life that I'm able to go to. But I want to tell you something. When you got this kind of relationship, if the Lord has closed your womb, no friend can open it for you. So why are you going there? So she took it to the one who could open her womb. It just shows you the depth of this woman's relationship with God. And she goes to him and she prays. She prays. She takes all that anguish, all that depression, all of that misery, all of that hurt that's being dumped on her from other people, and she's bringing it into that place of her relationship with God, and she's bringing it to him. And she's putting a demand on that relationship. If I have this kind of relationship with God, I know he's the one who can do something about it. Oh, Lord, remember me. Open my womb. Give me a son, she says, by praying. Wow. And so that's the first one. And that's how she lived through it. That's how you moms will live through it. And she taps into a level of grace. She taps into a level of grace. There's grace going on there in her life to be able to live through difficult situations. Here's the second one. To receive grace enough to pray through a difficult situation without giving up on God answering you. Boy, This is just so good, Bob. I know it is. Wow. I wish I were a mom this morning to be able to get this stuff. This is just good stuff. And it says, we read in verses 10 and 11, where it says she wept much. You understand? Bitterness of soul. So I think some of you moms know what it means to have bitterness of soul. You know? What kind of examples I could give, you know, but I'm going to move on. Bitterness of soul. And she weeps. But it says, what does it say? And she prayed to the Lord. The same Lord that closed her womb. And she prays there. So it's to receive. She had enough grace. She was given grace. She received grace enough to pray through her difficult situation. And not to give up. Not to give up, but to pray through a difficult situation. Remember me, she says. Remember me. Oh, Lord Jesus. I like what Peterson says here about when we pray into circumstances like this. He says, nothing has to remain the way that it is. Come on, Mom. You got to get this morning. In a world in which God is sovereign, nothing circumstantial is set in concrete. The Lord closed her womb. I'm going to put a demand upon my relationship with Him. I'm going to bring it to Him in prayer. You may have closed my womb, but I'm asking you to open it. Open my womb, God. Open my womb, God. Give me a son. You're the sovereign Lord. Whatever's going on biologically in me, whatever woman kind of stuff is going on, whatever, God, open my womb to have a son. It's not set in concrete. I can have a boy as well. And I'll name him Samuel. Asked of the Lord. Wow. Powerful stuff here. So we see her praying here. And in praying, it says here that, you know, she receives grace, or I'm saying she receives grace to pray. And just to jump ahead real quick here, because we know the end of the story. She has a son, right? And then her burden, as we read here, the agony, the anguish that she was feeling, is brought to prayer. Her burden is turned into prayer. And that doesn't stop there, though, because the prayer is answered, and her prayer, as you begin chapter 2, turns into what? Worship and praise. Oh, the progression. To take the burden, to feel the burden, into prayer. And all of that turns into now a time of worship and praise. God continues to do that, moms. He continues to do that. He'll do that in your life. Come on. Somebody say, good job. Someone say, good job, Pastor Bob. Come on. Thank you. And here's the last one. Here's the last one. All right? The last one is this. To receive grace enough to give grace to others. To receive grace enough to give grace to others. Now listen, she prayed and she said, Lord, I'm going to make a vow. And if you give me a son, I promise you that I'll make a sacrifice of him. I'll give him back to you. And one of the things I want to say is this. Some prayers don't get answered because they're not joined with adequate commitment, sacrifice on our part when we pray them. But when we do, oh, God's ear is open now. You see, because he's got a purpose in Hannah's barrenness. I like what one commentator says. He says, let me see if I can find it. Oh, yeah, he says, the birth of a child to a barren woman is not a routine matter at any time. God works a miracle, gives her a son. Gives her a son. And she says, I'm going to give him back to you. She's giving. She's releasing it to the Lord. And I think that the Lord brings us into situations sometimes to get us to look at something, to get us to consider what's really going on in this situation so that when we pray, when we are going to respond to him, we respond like his purposes in our lives dictate, not according to my whims, because they don't last for very long. His purpose is what matters most in our lives. And Hannah caught on to that. Oh, the purpose of God here. Something's going on here. If you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. She gives him back to the Lord. Can you imagine? After, I don't know, about 5 years old or whatever, whenever he was weaned, she brought him and gave him to study from that age forward for the priesthood, let alone the priesthood. He became a prophet, and he became a leader in the nation. Can you imagine? Now, she saw him once a year. I know what some of you are thinking. I know what some of you are thinking. Do I have to read your minds? I wouldn't mind that sometimes, just seeing my kid once a year. And I'm not going to say shame on you. Yeah, we feel. But I'm after something here. Help me to finish this. Help me. Stay with me. Okay? Stay with me here. To receive grace enough to give grace. To give grace. Let me say this is the first thing, okay, about this. You know, sometimes we get these things in our heads, all right, that your kids, mom, could do no wrong. Now, you may not say that, but it comes out when you look at other mothers and how they're raising their kids, and it comes out. And maybe you don't even say it, but it's there. Why don't they do this with that kid? And you think you're the greatest thing going, and you snub at everybody else. And shouldn't you be giving grace to that mom? Shouldn't you be giving grace to that kid? Because I want to tell you something, mom, even if you do have it all together with your kids, which you don't and you never will, but if you think you got it together more than somebody else does with their kids, you only got it together because God has given you the grace to do it. Only because he's given you the grace to do it. How many stories I can tell about this? I won't. And so, you receive grace enough to give grace. You know, these kids, you know, while they reflect poorly on their parents, don't they? Boy, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? I want to tell you something. If there's a hurricane, the apple can fall real far from the tree. If there's a big enough storm, you better believe it, baby. You understand? And we say these sort of things, and what are we doing? We're giving ungrace to other people when we should be giving what? Moms, be gracious. Be gracious. Oh, if that kid were my kid, I'd give him a thing or two. He'd find out real quick. She'd find out real quick. Be gracious. Give grace. Maybe they need something different than that. See, Hannah received grace, and she received grace to follow through on her commitment to give him to the Lord, to give him back to the Lord. And that's the second thing that I want to say to us, okay? That's the second thing. When we give our kids to God, I'm a zing some of you right now. When we give our kids to God, parents, moms, when you give your kids to God, Mom, it prevents you from making idols out of them. Oh, you don't know my kid. You see, you know, they have the honor roll, but then they made the gifted program just for my kid. Wonderful. Listen, I've had, you know, kids like, they I had to, you know, and I shouldn't say it, I'm embarrassing. Kids. I was going to say I can't say it. If Melody weren't here, I'd say it. I can't. But And it's easy to do, to make idols out of our kids. It really is. And it would have been easy. Listen, all of her hopes and dreams finally came true for her, Hannah. She has a son, right? And she said, God, if you give him to me, I'm going to give him back to you to serve in a special capacity, right? I think of Abraham and Isaac. You talk about all his hopes and dreams. If it didn't happen through Isaac, it wasn't going to happen. And God comes to him and says, there's a chance here that you're going to make an idol out of this, out of your son. And God says, there's something more important to me than Isaac being an heir to the promise. And that is you setting him up in your heart as an idol. Because I'm the only God that you ought to be worshiping, and for many reasons. So I want you to take your son and offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Wow. And Abraham says, it boggles my imagination. Abraham says, yes, sir. Isaac, as they're walking, says, Daddy, where are we going? He says, oh, my son, we're going to sacrifice. He says, I see the wood for the sacrifice. I see the fire to light the sacrifice. Dad, where is the animal for the sacrifice? As he's holding his hand in his head. Well, son, sorry. that little hand in his. Sorry, son. But also in Abraham's mind was two things. One, three things. One, God knows what he's doing. He's got a purpose in this. I'll follow with it. Two, God's able to provide a sacrifice in your place. And number three, if I follow through and kill you, God is able to raise you from the dead. But I want to tell you what went out of Abraham's life, making an idol out of his son. God will not stand for it. Competition. He's a jealous God. I work best loving him only. You see, we have all these things. Jesus and. Jesus and my kids. Jesus and my house. Jesus and my bank account. Jesus and my 401k. Jesus and my hobby. Jesus and, Jesus and, Jesus and. And he says, I want to eliminate the and. And if kids are Jesus and my kids, he said, ah. And Hannah shows us how to receive grace enough to give grace. God, I give him to you. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it, Mom and Dad? Moms, isn't it hard to give your kids to God? Just let something touch your kids. Just let something touch your kids. God, I give them to you, God. You know. Let me just finish by reading this, and I'm done. I like what Peterson says about this and dedicating our kids to God. He takes it right from this story of Hannah. He says, Hannah's first task is to nurse and nurture the child given her by God. Okay? And she does that. To give her strength, grace, I'll say, to the making of this new life. Her second task, and this is the key, the hardest part of grace, the third level of grace, is to wean the child from her dominance so that he can develop a relationship with God on his own. And this is what we want for our kids, is it not? And if they're ours under our dominance, and we've made something of them that they should not be made, how can they ever develop and make their own relationship with God? Because when they, you know, it's like, when you go to church, well, my parents do, and I go along with them. Do you know the Lord? Well, my parents know the Lord. Is that what we want for our kids? heavens, no. And so we give them, we dedicate them to the Lord. I'm done. Three levels of grace. Oh, hey, by the way, you know what Hannah's name means? Who can guess? Hannah's name. It means, you got it, grace. Tammy knew that. Her name means grace. Grace. Come on. Grace works anyway. Let's stand together. Moms, happy Mother's Day. Don't forget the flowers. Three levels of grace. Three levels of grace. God help you to get there and stay there. And so, Lord, as we're here in your presence and we spoke to moms, and I know, Lord, as even as I have joked, boy, I wish I was a mother, it does apply to me. I can take this stuff as a parent, as a person in dealing with stuff. Help us to feel it, God, to walk with you through these things. And now, Lord, I just pray upon each mom here. You see what they're going through, facing, dealing with the ups and downs of life, all the things that we talked about. God, that they will know a deeper, fuller, richer measure of grace in their lives from this moment forward, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys.